Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
So I read on the internet that cats get on your laptop because they're mirroring you, and so if you get them their own laptop, they'll leave you alone. And look at this little businessman!
Okay, it is a week of hard news, so let's lighten things up a little bit. And they dared me to do it, so ready? Here we go. Go get Socks, Whiskers, and Simba, and put your thinking cats on. Radio Boston is not kitten around. It's Ask the Vets, cat edition, and it's going to be positively perfect. I did it. I did the puns. So joining us now to answer our questions and yours about your feline friends are Indu Mani, veterinarian at VCA Brookline Animal Hospital and chief scientific officer at Brief Media, which creates clinical content for vets. And also with us here in studio, Monica Mansfield, veterinarian at Medway Animal Hospital and the president-elect of the Massachusetts Veterinary Medicine Association. Ooh, we got some sound there from you on the line, Indu. Indu and Monica, welcome back. It's been a minute.
Thank you so much for having us here. What a delight. Thank you.
It's great to have you here again. And Indu, how are you?
I'm doing great, Tiziana and Monica. It's so great to hear your voices.
It's great to be with you both. And listen, we have some questions already from our texting group. But if you're listening live right now, you can tweet them in. We'll be paying attention. And if you're in the texting group, go ahead and send additional questions in. If we can get to them, we will. So, Monica, you brought a picture of Indu, and Indu is with her dog. Are either of you cat people?
Oh, yeah.
This is Monica. Go ahead, Monica.
I have three cats at home right now, and one's a big old timer that had a really scary, within the week ago, he had an abscess that blew up the side of his face, and he's very not a good surgical candidate because he's got everything wrong with him, but we had to do an emergency surgery, and now a week later, he's the sweetest, kindest, you know, doing all these things of knocking things off the counter, being trouble again, so we know he's feeling better. And then two other cats at our house there.
And poor guy, for people who don't know, an abscess is basically a giant pus pocket, right?
Yeah, that's
nasty.
A good way to put it. That's a very and the word we use when we're writing it down is purulent.
There, that's a good word. I'm gonna have to find a way to use that. And do you also have a cat in your life?
No, I'm embarrassed to say I am allergic to cats. And there are more of us that are.
Should you have to be embarrassed about an allergy?
I am embarrassed because I made a career move that was inscrutable career move to many, but I don't have one at home. It's always a regret because they're so amazing. And I have to say, and Monica, I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel that, you know, people always talk about your patients teaching you. And I think I've learned more from cats than from dogs or from any other patients. You know, they're enigmatic creatures. They're incredible. And they're not direct. So you really have to think about what they're trying to tell you.
Okay. So, we're going to talk about the challenges of treating cats, the joys of having cats, and I want to bring a lot of listener voices in here. So I'm going to start right away with that. We invited our texting group to send in thoughts on this. And remember, you can join our texting group by sending the word Boston to 617-766-0382. And if you missed that number, you can find it on the About page of our website. I want to start with some art, actually, that we received. Radio Boston listener Nancy in Cambridge shared some original cat haiku. And one leads perfectly into a question we had. So here's Nancy reading some haiku written from the perspective of her cat, Anna.
Someday you will pay for the tricks you make me do to earn a greenie. And if I were huge, I would proudly carry you, neck crushed in my jaws.
So Monica, as an owner of three cats, we hear some cat owners express concern that perhaps their cats don't actually love them, but just find them convenient.
Well,
what's up?
You know, I think they all have their own temperament, but yeah, I think it's a well established, probably truth that cats, you know, we're kind of in their space, and when they want to come to us, that they will, and that we kind of have to earn it. And I think, you know, we probably can never change that. I think it may be partly how they developed, or it might be part of their why they can be so wily. But I think that they're secretive, and we get to earn them.
So we are talking to Drs. Monica Mansfield, who you just heard, and Dr. Indumani. It's Ask the Vets About Cats here on Radio Boston today as we look for a break from all the big news stories of the week. Indumani, my understanding is that, and I should say this before I raise this question, I should say you have no idea the grief I have taken from the team this week for being so pro-dog, right? And we're doing this cat segment. So let me just confess to that as we start. Indumani, my understanding is that cats' brains are actually structured differently than dogs' brains.
Yeah, they were domesticated later than dogs. There's some data out there, and there continues to be emerging, you know, phenomenal evaluation of how they domesticate, how cats were domesticated. Their brains, they are different. They have, I'll be perfectly honest that I don't remember the actual neuroanatomy from vet school from a very long time ago. But in the clinical setting, we definitely stratify the needs of our patients, cats versus dogs. And what we might say a dog needs, and when I counsel my clients, is very different from the needs that you have to meet in a cat. So absolutely, functionally, their brains are different. They eat differently. They sleep differently. They interact differently, and not like a human. And they're not the easy, a lot of people think cats are just these easy, effort-free pets. That's just not true. And if you're not putting the effort into care, to giving your cat what it needs, you have to make changes to try to do that.
So I want to pick up on that thread, this idea of the differences. And one of the questions that came in, Monica Mansfield, was one of our texters, Dottie in Mount Juliet, asked, do inside living cats need to be seen by a veterinarian on a regular basis like dogs do? Our cats have been inside since they were adopted 6 years ago. They seem to be thriving, you know, sleeping, eating, and the occasional zoom zooms.
Great question, and we get that a lot. But I would advise that they come in at least once a year. Certainly, we, in our state, we are required to have up-to-date rabies vaccines for all animals, whether they're indoor or outdoor. That comes every 3 years once we get the rabies vaccines established properly. But aside from that, the once a year annual visits can be really helpful, because 1 year in their life is like us not going to see our doctor for 6 or 7 years. And
really,
sometimes, you know, what we're doing in the exam is not always obvious, but as Dr. Mani Indu, as you know, there's so much that we see just by watching the patient. When I see a cat come in, as they come out of their carrier, you know, I'm using a lot of my observational skills as to how comfortable that cat is. And because they're so kind of stealth and secretive, they're known for hiding illnesses that they might have for, you know, a good month or 2 months from us. So besides watching how they breathe and their presence, how they are, we're looking at their gum color, checking their ears. One of the biggest things is when we listen to their heart. And cats can have a heart murmur that we don't know about from the outside, because when cats do have heart disease, you almost never know about it in advance until it's, you know, kind of further down the road. But other things too on the exam, we're feeling their belly, making sure there are no masses. Are their kidneys a normal size? We check their skin, see if their secretive little feet have had anything going on, sometimes the underside of their feet. So during a thorough exam, once a year, we're checking for all these hidden things that cats are never going to tell us about.
So that is so much, right? And this is Radio Boston, and we're doing a special Ask the Vet on cats after some requests from listeners to do so. So you were just hearing from Dr. Monica Mansfield there, who's a veterinarian at Medway Animal Hospital. We also have with us Dr. Indumani, who's a veterinarian at the VCA Brookline Animal Hospital. And so, Dr. Indumani, are there typical illnesses that you're looking for in cats? Like, are there some greatest hits that are most likely to be what you're seeing?
Yeah, there definitely are. And very quickly, I just wanted to, Monica was mentioning the rabies vaccines. We see cats all the time, indoor cats, where in their homes, that bats come into the homes.
Oh.
And you know, they can be a pure indoor cat, but if they're not up to date on rabies vaccines and they're bitten by a rabid bat, that can be really devastating. So
that's scary for people too. I mean, anybody. Exactly. You have now given me a new night terror.
No, I don't want to give you night terror. But yes, there are greatest hits and that we see in cats. And Monica will know that with geriatric cats, we've got the trifecta of kidney disease, thyroid disease, inflammatory bowel disease, and I should say quadrifecta and diabetes mellitus. Those are things that we see often in geriatric and aged cats. And the truth is that the more work that we do seeing cats on a regular basis, monitoring weight trends, monitoring appetite, the subtle things that owners might notice, we can pick these things up early and we can really manage them quite well. With younger cats, there are things that will happen if a cat is outdoors versus if a cat is indoors. Monica described this abscess. That's something we see commonly in outdoor cats who hunt and fight. And with indoor cats, we're seeing what I kind of think is an epidemic of anxiety-based behaviors in cats. And when a cat urinates outside the litter box, especially a younger cat, it's almost never due to urinary tract infection with bacteria.
Why would you think there would be an epidemic of anxiety in cats? And I ask this with seriousness. Why would that be?
I think I have my own theories, and I have some friends, some veterinarians. We've all discussed this. I definitely think having people at home more during the pandemic kind of reshifted the dynamic in the home for already established cats. Concomitantly, when cats who were brought into the home during the pandemic got used to having a certain level of engagement from their family members and people are going back to work, that can cause it. And I think simmering in the background here is the need to make sure that all people are meeting what their cats need, because as Monica said, they are secretive, they're enigmatic, they don't tell you things directly. It's up to us to kind of make sure we're reading what they're trying to tell us.
So I want to pick up on that. You used as an example, Dr. Mani, the fails with a litter box. So Monica Mansfield, veterinarian at Medway Animal Hospital, let me turn back to you. What are the typical litter box fails, and what are the typical solutions for those?
Well, our official term is inappropriate urination and defecation, but basically peeing outside the box. And sometimes it's in a shoe. I once had a very naughty cat named Amos that I was at the time renting a house from a construction worker, and the cat peed all over the blueprints for the house building. And it was, you know, there can be the most inappropriate places to be. But it is one of our most common problems that we see. And, you know, I always tell people that it can be that there's a physical problem, that there might be a urinary tract infection, but it also could be all, you know, a lot of emotional. And if there is a urinary tract infection, that can lead to it becoming emotional. But I kind of have like a litter box Zen recommendations. First of all, though, I would say it would warrant an exam with your veterinarian, because they'll probably check a urine sample, make sure there's not a problem there, and talk over whether there are any health or pain issues. But litter box Zen rules for cats that are kind of finicky about their box, it can be because they're having another cat taunt them. If there's any interactions within the house, we want to make sure that there's enough real estate in the boxes so that there's a lot of room. And
In the litter boxes,
yeah. So I always recommend to give more than just a standard cat litter box. If you get an underbed sweater box that you can get at, you know, any of the Target, or that is made for storing sweaters under the bed, nice, big and wide, so they've got room to move around. And then other boxes, too. They can all be side by side. The standard recommendation is a box per cat plus one. But if you have a long and wide and then one or two other, if you have multiple cats in the house, that can be very helpful. So that's one. Don't cover the box. Don't have any liners. Cats don't like crinkly things. And a lot of times cats can be very tactile sensitive. Think about it. The humans, like, who don't like tags or ponytails, you know, that's more the tactile
cat. Because of the way they touch them.
Yeah. So the litter itself should be as close to Miami sand as it can, like really soft litter that doesn't have big granules and doesn't have an odor. So non-scented litter all the time, I would say, always. honestly, I don't like most of the regular store brand ones. The granules are too big. They don't clump well enough. There are a couple brands that I like a lot. I don't know if I can say them on the air or not.
I actually don't know that.
Okay, so I won't.
Yes.
But
you
anyhow,
can tweet them.
I'll tweet them. Oh, that sounds good. Yeah. But the idea is to have them ones that form a clump well and then scoop once or twice a day. If you have a cat that tends towards the peeing outside the box, make sure that the box is as friendly as possible.
All right. So I have one last question. I'll turn to Indumani for this. We've got about a minute left here. This is a mental health question. Liam in Jamaica Plain texted, is it really as dangerous as a lot of people claim for house cats to go outdoors? We adopted a neutered cat when he was 4 and was apparently used to going outside. He scratches at the door and bangs around the house until he's let out. He doesn't stay out long, but seems to benefit from the outdoor time. So briefly, what about letting the indoor cats outdoors?
You know, cats are meant to you know, exhibit their catness by running around outdoors. That's absolutely true. And we kind of are in this liminal space, keeping cats indoors to keep them safe and have long lives. So it's definitely something that you think about in terms of animal welfare. Are we doing the right thing? I would say absolutely. If it's causing a lot of discord in the house and Liam, if your kitty is getting agitated, it's okay. It's okay to let it outdoors if there's no other choice. What I would say is make sure it's up to date on a feline leukemia vaccine. Make sure it has all. Make sure it has all its front claws. Make sure that that it's getting dewormed and getting flea and tick treatment.
So give it the resources it needs, but then okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Exactly.
Veterinarians Indumani of VCA Brookline Animal Hospital and Monica Mansfield of Medway Animal Hospital. This was a fun Ask the Vets on cats. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.